All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all here this morning. Hope everybody had a good week last week, and look forward to a new week that the Lord has blessed us with. I'm thankful for some visitors that are here with us today, but it's good to see you all here today. Good for the ones that are able to join us online as well. It's good that you can join in live or as you can. I would just have a few announcements to go over before we get started. Good to see Bobby here today. That's awesome. He is doing better. He is taking care of his quarantine time, so he's back with us, but he's still feeling, still regaining his strength. So you get me for another Sunday for the sermon today, so you'll have that here a little bit later. But the rest of the Henson family, they are home today. Kevin's the one that really got hit hard. He's been in the hospital, still in the hospital, but he's been moved to a regular room now. So he is continuing to get better and continuing to get a little stronger. But definitely keep Kevin in your prayers. Also Hunter and Deborah as they continue to just mind their health and just let things take its course. But just keep the Henson's family in your prayers. Also, my mom and dad aren't here today. That's because my dad has shoulder surgery. It's always hard to say those two words at the same time. Shoulder surgery. He's having that on Wednesday, so they have to do the quarantine thing before his surgery on Wednesday, so that's why they had to stay at home here today. So please keep my dad in your prayers as he's going to be having that surgery on Wednesday. Those are the main things I needed to bring up as far as today goes. I think just in general, though, let's keep all of us in our prayers, as we all have to deal with a lot of things, either our personal health or the health of our family or our loved ones, whatever it might be. I think we're all having to deal with stuff here or there anyway. So let's just be mindful of one another and keep each other in our prayers and continue to be an encouragement for everybody that we can be. If there's nothing else, if you would, bow with me for a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that you blessed us with. We're thankful for this time that we can be here this morning to be able to just join in our thoughts and in our voices as we come to you and worship you in spirit and in truth, dear Lord. We're thankful for this building that we have, that we can be here in comfort, but that, again, that we can gather and worship you, dear Lord. We're mindful of our loved ones that aren't able to be here today for sickness or for other reasons, dear Lord. Please be with them and give them strength and encouragement. Please give us all encouragement to get through each day as things continue to get better here, but just continue to give us strength and encouragement to get through each day, and always help us to make sure that we're not so focused on the things of this world and the worries and concerns that are out there, but make sure that our main focus is you, dear Lord, because you are our Heavenly Father. We know that you care for us and will guide us each and every day. Always help us to focus on living the best Christian life that we can. Help us to always want to study and to grow and to learn more and more about you so that we can be able to teach others and be a bright light and shining examples of those that we're around. Again, help us to focus our minds on the worship that we'll be offering you here today. Help it to be pleasing in your sight, and help us to always do all things in accordance to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
We're a little lighter on some of the voices I was expecting this morning, but we got it. So the rest of us are just going to have to sing out all that much more. So we're going to start off this morning with singing Bless the Lord, also known as 10,000 Reasons. I know this is one's not in the book, but we've sung a few times here off and on. I think we can get on through this morning with it, so.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. and whatever lies before me. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find to bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship Your holy name. Sing like never. Worship Your holy name. I'll worship Your holy name.
Song before Tim's lesson this morning will be Savior, Lead Me, Lest I Stray, page 99 in your songbook.
Savior, lead me lest I stray. Gently lead me all the way. I am safe when by Thy side I would in Thy love abide. Lead me. Lead me, Savior, lead me, lest I stray.
So again, good morning. Jennifer reminded me to also mention Connie Redden. Gwen had sent out a message earlier this week asking for prayers for Gwen or for Connie as well. So let's continue to remember Connie and the Redden family in our prayers as well. So again, I hope everybody's having a good week so far. If you listen to my Wednesday talks, you've heard me speak a few times about, you know, it being springtime coming around and all the things that are in relation to that and the signs of spring, and it's always a good thing. And you know, one thing I want to start off with today, we're going to talk a little bit about something we're all very familiar with, especially when it comes to this time of year. There it is, right? You know what that is, this time of year, especially if you live around the Midwest, you might see one or two or many of these. I live off Fosterburg Road and I see many of these things. So I know it is what it is. The road crews do what they can to get out there, but they just come and go. So potholes are definitely something I think we're all familiar with, right? And you know, you could be driving down the road and watch out. That's a monster right there. It looks like it's going to be close, but you do what you can to avoid these things, because what's going to be the issue if you hit one of these things? Well, there could be some consequences for sure, right? And, you know, you look at this picture right here, and you're thinking, I bet maybe you're doing it. I did when I saw this picture in my mind. And you're thinking about how you're going to navigate through that road, right? Okay, there's a plane. You're coming up on a road like this. All right, if I turn here and if I turn there, yeah, I can navigate this without hitting too many of those holes. So maybe you have a road like this in your life that you have to travel every day. I see some heads nodding, so... It's definitely an issue for this time of year. But as I said last week, with my lesson, I get thoughts and ideas for these kind of lessons from odd places. But this is something we're all having to deal with. Now, where am I going with this? I think we all have our potholes that we have to deal with in our Christian life, right? Each and every day, there's things that we have to encounter. We're going to have to deal with. We're going to have to, like this one, you have to figure out how to navigate this road with all these potholes. Well, our life, we always have to navigate through the things that we're going to have to deal with. So what I want to do here today with this lesson is talk about, you know, there's the nature of potholes, you know, the ones that we see on the road and how we're going to have to deal with those, different kind of potholes. But then how can we apply that to what we're going to have to deal with in our Christian life as well? So I'm hoping I can bring all this together and it makes a little bit of sense, and I hope you can get some encouragement from this as we try to deal with all the things that we have to deal with each and every day of our life and having to navigate through these things. So first, what I want to talk about are, you know, there's potholes out there that we don't see coming, right? Especially if you're driving at night. You're driving down the road and you know, maybe it wasn't there, and then it was there. And you're just going down the road thinking that road's nice and smooth, and you got no troubles, and maybe you're just driving in cruise control in your mind sometimes because you've driven that road each and every day. Oh, there's a pothole, and you didn't see it coming. and watch out. Well, what happens? Maybe you try to turn real fast and try to avoid it, or you might wind up hitting it. But anyway, you know, there's things in our life, you know, that we have to deal with that we don't see coming, right? I think all of us can attest to that. You know, just like sometimes we don't see these potholes in the road, you know, while we're driving, we don't always see the obstacles or the potholes in our life, you know, when they're coming. And it might be, you know, when I wrote down here trials and tests that we don't see coming. So we think about things like that, maybe some unexpected news. I think we get that sometimes where, again, we're going along just fine and we might get some unexpected news, whatever that may be. You know, that can, a lot of times, you know, that can be negative news that we're going to have to switch things around in our life, and we're going to have to figure out how we're going to deal with that. You know, specifically, think about, you know, a loss of a job or a loss of some kind of resource that we might have. You know, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle that? Is something we're going to have to figure out, because a lot of times you might not see that coming. You know, your company might decide, you know, because of the way things are, they're going to have to downsize. And the next thing you know, you might be out of a job. Or, you know, your car breaks down. You have one car, it broke down, and you don't have any other way of transportation. Well, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle that? So there's things like that. Or I think all of us can relate to health issues. You know, sometimes you don't see it coming. I know right now, sometimes you can kind of see it coming because it's out there a lot. But, you know, you might be going along just fine and healthy, and then all of a sudden, you know, this afternoon, you're not feeling real great. And that can just escalate and escalate. And next thing you know, you're really laid out because you're really sick and maybe you have to go to the hospital. Or the unexpected news of maybe a death in your family or a death of a loved one. And how are you going to navigate that? Because that can have truly a very large impact on your life, just like a pothole can have a huge impact on your car if you're going to hit one. But this kind of unexpected news, things that you don't see coming, you know, can really have an impact on your life, especially on your Christian life, because that can really bring you down. That can be a discouragement so much that you may let your spiritual life slip away, and because you become so focused on having to deal with this, and it can be, you know, a challenge and a discouragement. And we need to not be surprised at these things when they happen in our life. You know, just because we don't see them coming doesn't mean we can't be prepared for when these things are happening, because you know something's going to happen eventually. You're going to have to deal with it. But don't let that shake your spiritual life and your Christian life. So one verse I want to share with you to go with this, 1 Peter 4:12, which says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Again, a lot of times when these things happen in our life that can be a challenge to deal with, can be a hurdle or an obstacle, you know, sometimes, what sometimes you might say, why me? Why is this happening to me? You know, of all the things, and it doesn't always seem to even compound one on top of the other and top of the other. And it's, again, it brings you down and you're thinking, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe this is happening now. But you know what? You know, God's saying, don't be surprised if you're going to have to deal with trials in your life, because we're all going to have to deal with trials in our life. This is not a promised golden road that we're all going to be walking down in our life. We're all going to have to deal with things in our life. But don't be surprised. Don't let it bring you down. Don't let it shake the core of your Christian life to a point where you get off the road completely of walking that narrow way that leads to heaven. But make sure that you're ready to take on these challenges, take on these trials. Because again, we're not going to always see them coming, but we need to be prepared to deal with them when they do come up. I'm just going to have a few of these, so don't worry, there's not like 12 of them. I did write like a whole bunch of them down, and I did pare them down because, you know, just thinking about potholes, there's all sorts of different kind of things we have to deal with. But there's just a handful of these, so just have that in mind. So there are potholes out there that we see them coming, but you can't avoid it, right? Because for various reasons, the road's too narrow, or you know, I'll reference Fosterburg Road because I drive down that road a lot, and it's not the widest road around. It's kind of narrow, and if there's a big 18-wheeler coming down one way, and there's a pothole kind of a little bit in the left or the right kind of area, but you can't really straddle it, so you really kind of want to veer toward the middle. Yeah, you don't really want to do that if an 18-wheeler's coming the other way. I don't want to play chicken. I've got a little Saturn car, and no, I'm not going to win that one, and he's not going to move for me. So sometimes you just can't avoid hitting these kind of holes, you know, for various reasons. There's just no way around it. You know, maybe you don't see it in time, I don't know, but you just can't avoid it. So whatever the circumstances is, whatever the situation is, you're going to have to take that hole head on while you're driving. Hate to do that. You might be thinking of it when I was writing this down. You know, what happens when you know you're going to hit one? You kind of clench up a little bit and you kind of have that look like, because you know it's coming. But you just can't avoid it. Well, again, there are some things in our life that we do see coming, but we can't avoid it. You know, we think about the trials that we all have to face. You know, again, we know things are coming up, and there's things we're going to have to deal with. You know, whatever it is, you know, again, you know, I wish we could all stay healthy forever and ever. But you know sickness is going to come. Things come with age, and we have to deal with certain things. Or it might be a change that you know is going to be coming in your life. Whether maybe you're going to be moving soon, and you're going to have to deal with all the things that you're going to have to, you know, pick up and move somewhere new and have to deal with these things. That can be a struggle. That's, you know, it's picking up and moving can be a very stressful thing, but sometimes you see it coming, and you're going to have to deal with those things. But we need to make sure that we have the strength to handle these kind of situations when they come up in our life and be steadfast to keep on going. Even though, you know, it might be a difficult time in our life, it might be a hurdle or an obstacle that's coming up ahead, we know it's coming, but we're going to have to handle it head on. You know, we're not going to be able to avoid it. We're going to have to be able to take it and be able to succeed in getting through it. I want to share with you James chapter 1. I'm going to do verses 2 through 4, then jump down to verse 12. We recount it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Go down to verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love them. What's the word you keep seeing here? I keep seeing steadfast. Again, we're going to have to deal with things in our life. You know, we're all going to have these obstacles. But the Lord is telling us to be steadfast. You know, again, even where this one starts, it's very interesting when it says, count it all joy when you meet various trials. Because why? You know, do you wish you had to meet these trials and meet these potholes in your life? Well, no, I don't want to have to go through a lot of troubles. But if you let these things work for you, it can make you stronger, right? It can make you more steadfast. Let the testing of your faith produce steadfastness, and then let that steadfastness have its full effect so that you can be perfect and complete. You know, if you just have one side of the coin, if you have it easy all the time, right, you're just kind of on cruise control, and you're just taking it easy, you got no worries, no problems, but that doesn't really toughen you up a little, you know, at all. You know, it kind of makes, for lack of a better word, it kind of makes you soft. And to be a strong Christian, sometimes you have to deal with things in your life to become stronger and stronger, to continue to study and to know that you don't have all the answers. You know, it's not a nice, smooth path we're all walking. So that we need to continue to study and to grow, deal with things in our life so that we can be more steadfast, so that we can get to that point where we're not going to be lacking in the strength that we're going to need to deal with the things that we're going to have to deal with each and every day. Because Satan's always going to be out there trying to trip us up. He's always there putting those temptations out in front of us, putting those potholes, those obstacles there to try to trip us up, again, to get us off the path that leads to heaven and the path that leads to him. and we don't want to be on that path. We need to be steadfast to stay on that path. So even though we see him coming and we can't avoid him, but we can take him head on and be strong when we do, so that we can get out on the other side and keep on going. Next, I want to talk to you about are the potholes that are deceptive. This is one I keep seeing on my road most traveled. You know, it's these holes that start off really small, and they just keep getting a little bigger and a little bigger. Then the next thing you know, you drive past that one where, you know, you thought, that wasn't so bad. And you might wind up catching it a little bit, but the next thing you know, a couple days later, especially after a rain or two, now it's this great big thing. You know, it's deceptive. You know, or even the small ones, but if they're shaped just right, they can do a lot of damage. So they can be very deceptive. It doesn't look too bad until you're confronted with it. That's where I was headed with this one. So sometimes, you know, the things that we have to deal with in our life, it may not look too bad. You know, there it is off in the distance. Yeah, I can be able to handle that. Maybe you let your guard down. And, I can get through this. That won't be too hard. But then once you're confronted with that obstacle, with that hurdle, wow, it kind of knocks you off your feet. You know, it takes you by surprise. It can knock you down. So we need to make sure that we have the strength to be able to handle even the things in this world that might be deceptive to us, where we think, no problem, I can handle that. But when it comes up on you, you got another thing coming, because it can be a lot tougher than it seems. 2 Timothy 3, 13 through 14. Evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. There's going to be a lot of things in this world that are there to deceive or are hidden. And if we're not careful to be able to discern, you know, good from evil, good from bad, things that are working for us or is good for us spiritually, and the things that aren't, you know, that's where we can get into trouble. Because there's always going to be people or things out there that Satan's putting in our way that are people just going to be things going from bad to worse. And I think we all have dealt with that at some point in our life, and we're going to continue. Things that are going to be deceiving or being deceptive to us. But we need to make sure we're continuing in what we have learned and firmly believe. Again, going to the Scripture, studying God's Word, making sure we're growing each and every day to be stronger so that we can have that knowledge that we need to get through and understand when things are trying to deceive us, that these are things not of God, but of Satan. And we need to make sure that we're focusing on the things of God and what he is trying to do to help us to be, again, the best Christians that we can be. I have another verse to go along with this thought about being deceptive. And that's James 1, 14 through 17. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You know, again, we need to make sure that everything that we do in our actions, our words, and our thoughts and our choices, which I talked a little bit about last week, but all those things, we need to make sure that we are doing everything we can to have all those based in God and godly things. And that comes down to, again, being fully aware of what God expects from us, studying God's Word, so that we don't have any compromises, you know, when it comes to living our Christian life. Because, again, sometimes we see things ahead that we think aren't a big deal, but they are a big deal. And that's where sometimes we compromise our values, compromise our faith a little bit. And that's a dangerous road to walk, because with compromise comes consequence. And that's consequences that, you know, when it comes down to the judgment day, I don't want to be trying to explain to the Lord why I compromised on this or compromised on that because it didn't look that bad to me. It didn't seem that bad. But it is, because if it's going against God's word and against God's will, then it is bad. And it is a big deal. And we shouldn't be compromising. So don't be deceived on things based on this world or the world's values or the world's judgment on things. But make sure that we are looking toward God, and everything that we do in our actions, words, thoughts, and choices are coming from what we understand and what we read from our Heavenly Father and what we read about from God's Word. Next, I want to talk about are those holes there in the road that have been repaired but reemerge, right? So you know these holes, right? So the road crews, again, are doing the best they can to get out there, and they fill those holes. And then, again, we have another big storm or something happens, and what happens? Washes all that stuff out. And you think you're driving along, and, oh, yeah, they fixed all that, and it's great. And then the next thing you know, oh, there it is again, and that hole's back. And a lot of times it's back with a vengeance. It's gotten even bigger. So that's I think we all understand what that's all about. You know, we thought they were fixed, but they weren't fixed. And I think there's a lot of times in our life where we think that we have a handle on things, and maybe we have fixed an issue that we had in our life. You know, whether it's, you know, something, again, in our speech. You know, maybe it's some kind of, you know, I think sometimes we all have a little bit of a weakness in one way or another. Again, with our actions or our thoughts or our speech or the choices that we make. And we all always have to work on those things, right? Again, to be a better Christian. And maybe we've thought we've fixed something. You know, we've got a handle on that, and we fixed it, and we think, all right, from here on, it's smooth sailing. I've got that under control. And you think Satan's not going to try to dig that hole back out? He will, because it was a hole once, and it can be a hole again. So Satan is going to continue to attack that. So you need to make sure you've done a good job of plugging that hole. And don't be deceived just because you think you have got a handle on something. And it's great that you have. If you've worked on, you know, fixing some kind of weakness that you have, that's great. We need to continue to do that. But be steadfast in that, just like we read about earlier, so that it doesn't reemerge as a problem. Colossians 3:5-10. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And all these things, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. So not just these things, put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Again, when we think about putting these things off, you know, we're trying to put off whatever the issue, you know, or the weakness, or whatever it is that you might have to deal with in your life, put it off, put it to death, get it out of there. But again, that can be tough. But this particular verse is talking about ourselves. You know, all these things that we're going to have to deal with, Satan's going to try to tempt us with one way or another. But we're being told here, being instructed to put these things away. Put them to death. Don't let them reemerge in your life. Be constant, be vigilant in making sure that you're putting those away. Again, this is talking about, you know, things of ourself. But I also want to share with you a verse that I think also is talking about others. You know, our relationship with others as well. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Unfortunately, sometimes we can be the pothole in somebody else's life, right? And that's definitely not what we should be wanting to be, whether purposely or not. But we need to make sure we've made a decision in our thoughts to not be the person or the reason why somebody has maybe addressed something in their life a weakness or whatever it is, you need to be there to be the strength to help them to continue to conquer that, not be the one there that maybe keeps picking at it, and you've opened up an old wound or opened up this hole that was once in their life, and now you have become that stumbling block. You have become that obstacle to somebody else. So we need to be mindful of ourselves, not to be our own worst enemy, and be, you know, this, you know, have this problem reemerge. But we need to make sure we're not the person for somebody else that, you know, because of whatever situation they may be in, that you're not helping them at all. You're actually being a hindrance, and we need to make sure we're not that stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of others. One more I'd like to share with you before we close here this morning. What about these holes that we see on the road? I mean, why do you try not to hit these? Because they're very damaging. They're dangerous. I mean, if you hit one of those, you know, just the wrong way, you know, that can cause a crash, an accident. It can cause a lot of damage and can be very dangerous. And again, you know, when we think about our spiritual life, you know, trying to be the best Christian that we can be, there's a lot of potholes that we face, a lot of obstacles that we face that can be very damaging to us. Again, it goes back to my point earlier when we talk about not realizing or taking, you know, not taking seriously the obstacles that might be out there. You know, we see them and think, eh, that's not that big a deal, but that's very deceptive, because when it comes down to it, you know, these obstacles that Satan puts in front of us, these temptations are very damaging and very dangerous to us, definitely in our spiritual life. Because what's the end result of not being able to handle these situations in our life? Not going where we want to go and spend eternity. You know, it's the difference of going to heaven or going to hell. So being able to confront what we have to confront, we need to be able to understand what the will of the Lord is, understanding what the Word of God says, and make sure that we're being able to handle the situations that we all have to face each and every day of our life. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed. Why? Lest you fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So, are we going to not be tempted? Are we going to not have to deal with trials and troubles in our life? No. We're going to have to deal with those things. But what happens here? What do we read here? No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. You have the ability to get through the obstacles in your life. I know a lot of times things seem very daunting, especially when there's that road that has a lot of potholes on it. You're trying to figure out how to navigate through those things. That's tough. And it can be very draining. And it can be very discouraging. But you know what? God gives us the ability. He gives us the way to navigate through those things. And you have to keep that in mind. Because if you can't navigate through those, if you're unwilling to, and you take your eyes and your faith away from who is going to help you navigate through that, then these obstacles in your life are going to become very dangerous and damaging to your soul. And you don't want that, right? You want to be able to get through this life, navigate through the trials and the temptations you're going to face, through the struggles. But with God on your side, you can do that. You can make it through. We need to remember God is faithful. God will help us endure all the things that we have to face. I just want to leave you with one more scripture as we close the lesson. Isaiah 30:20-21. You know, we think about God, and I want to leave you with this, you know, visual point about letting God help you navigate through this life. Just like the slide again earlier, you know, you're mentally trying to figure out how you're going to approach, how you're going to handle all these obstacles in the road. Well, this road of life that we're on, we're going to have to navigate through these obstacles. But God is there to help us navigate through life. He's going to help us be prepared to deal with the obstacles that we face. God never says we're not going to face obstacles, but He is going to give us a way to be prepared to navigate through those. So this verse here in Isaiah 30, I really liked it for to end this lesson. Your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Just visualize that. You know, think about God being right there behind you. God can see. He knows how you can get through and navigate through here. And here He is. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "You can do this. Go this way. Go that way. You can do this. Make the right decisions. Put your faith in God. He can help you guide your way through all these obstacles that we're going to have to face." So again, I hope this lesson has been an encouragement to you because it's hard not to drive right now and see the potholes. But as you're driving and you're navigating through those things, think about this lesson a little bit. And think about when you're having to deal with things in your Christian life, understand that God is there and He will help you guide through those trials that we all have to face. We're going to sing a song that Brother Dale selected as our song of encouragement, which is "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." And again, when we think about this particular verse where we have God saying, you know, trying to help us and direct us through this life, we need to make sure that we're not ignoring that. We need to make sure that we want to, as the song says, daily walking close to Thee. Each and every day, we need to make sure that we're focused on God and godly things and keeping that close to us. Not at arm's length. Not, "Oh God, I'll listen to you when it's convenient to me, when you're saying what I want you to say or how I want you to say it." But no, keep God close. Keep Him near. Keep your walk close to Him. So again, keep these thoughts in mind as you walk each and every day of your life. If you've not been baptized into Christ, now is the time to make that right. Because whether you are a Christian or not, you're going to have to face trials in your life. But with God on your side, it is so much better to get through these things. And becoming a Christian and having God behind you is the best decision that you can make. And you can make your life right, be baptized, be washed of your sins, and begin walking in newness of life with Him. And again, keeping that walk close to Him each every day. And if you have been baptized but you've fallen away and you've gotten off that path, and let these obstacles in your life, these trials, these hurdles, whatever you want to call them, let those wear you down to the point that you have continually gotten off course and off path. And now your path is going in a direction it doesn't need to be going. Well, let's make that right now. You know, pray from your pew if you need to. But don't delay. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we are here for your help, for your support, for your strength, and we would be glad to pray with you. So whatever your needs are, just know that we love you and care for you, but that God always loves and cares for you and will look to guide you and strengthen you each and every day of your walk through this life. So whatever your needs are, please let us know. Let's stand and sing.
Just a closer walk with Thee.
taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. We will sing by faith. Allergies are getting me too this morning. By faith I see, page 527. And say, hopefully my voice will get us through the next few songs this morning. By faith I see Mount Calvary. By faith I see that cruel tree. I see his pain, I see his stride. By faith I see my ransom lie. In all I see his flesh so torn. In all I see the people scorn. God turns away, I hear his plea. In all I see his love for me. Through tears I see that perfect blood. Through tears I see that blessed blood. He Christ is done, the battle's o'er. Through tears I see my sin no more.
Excuse me real quick, I forgot to grab the gloves this morning. Good morning once again. It's great to be here. Before everyone, it's always a pleasure to share some thoughts. And as everyone knows, this is the portion of service where we commemorate or look back and memorialize the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's actually a really perfect song, Dale, that you led, and I appreciate that, by faith, or faith I see. Because really, me personally, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of folks here, is when we gather to partake of the Lord's Supper, we have a visual, a particular visual in our head, and I think that song really gives us a really great visual of the things that Christ endured. And really, that's my talk this morning, is try to give a better visual of that sacrifice. And I'm going to share, as I usually do or often do, I come up with these different articles. I find these articles that really speaks to me. The one that I have this morning is called The Compelling Love of Christ. I can't take credit for this, obviously. It's my brother, his name's John Gibson. He's actually the evangelist for Jones Road Church of Christ down in Athens, Alabama. I came across this a few weeks back and saved it, but I wanted to share it with you this morning, as well as some scripture, and then to help focus our minds. The scripture I'm going to start out with is from 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 14 and 15. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." He goes on to say, the love of Christ, especially as seen in the cross, should be a compelling force in our lives. Because the sacrificial love of Christ can have such a great influence in our lives, we need to think about Calvary often. When we think about how powerful that story can be, it is no surprise God's people are commanded to pause each week and remember that death and the eating of the Lord's Supper. And this article is intended to set before us all the love of Jesus in such a way that it might have the effect God intends, not only as we eat the Lord's Supper, but every day. As we meditate on the sufferings of our Lord as he went from Gethsemane to Calvary, it behooves us to remember that he went to the cross because of our sins and in order to bring us reconciliation, forgiveness, and peace. So throughout this brief, keep in mind two important facts. First, Jesus of Nazareth was completely innocent of any sin or wrongdoing. As we know in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So let us see the loving Lord betrayed by his friends. After having spent approximately 3 years with the Lord, Judas identified Jesus by the most unholy kiss ever given. Using an act universally associated with friendship, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus to the authorities. But Jesus was not the only friend to fail the Lord that night. The other disciples were asked by Jesus to watch with him in prayer, but instead allowed their sorrow to cause him to fall asleep. Then when Jesus was arrested, after a brief moment of courage on the part of Peter, the 11 apostles were said to have forsook him and fled. Though Peter and John seemed to have quickly regrouped and followed Jesus to the house of the high priest, once there, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. The next morning, Jesus suffered the humiliation of hearing the crowd request the release of a murderer and demand his crucifixion. Though we have no specific information on the makeup of the howling mob, it would seem almost certain that it would include many who had welcomed him with hosannas 5 days earlier and had eagerly listened to his teachings that final week. The greatest friend man has ever known was truly hurt by his friends. Let us also see God's Holy One treated like a criminal. Jesus himself asks, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me?" His enemy sent a large contingent of soldiers and police to arrest one who is kind, gentle, and willing to surrender. After arresting Jesus, they found him as though the one who had willingly surrendered himself might try to escape. Through that night and the next morning, he was repeatedly labeled an evildoer despite the lack of evidence against him. Even when he was put to death, they placed him between two robbers as if he were just another criminal receiving his just reward. Let us also be shocked at the cruelty and mockery Jesus experienced. During the night, the captors blindfolded Jesus and played a cruel game in which they struck him, and they taunted him to prophesy and identify the one who had hit him. During this cruel mockery, they also spat on him. The next morning, Herod and his troops had their fun as they dressed Jesus in a gorgeous robe and mocked him. These make us shudder, but the cruelest mockeries were still to come. After Jesus has been scourged, the Roman soldiers put a royal robe around Jesus, wove a crown of thorns for him, and placed a reed in his hand to serve as his scepter. The soldiers then mocked him by bowing before him and tauntingly calling him king. They also spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the thorn-crowned head. Following this, Jesus was taken to Calvary to be crucified. In his dying hours, the taunts continued, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Let us also feel some of the pain the Lord felt. Before the crucifixion, Christ experienced a beating that by itself could be enough to bring death to his victim. The Roman scourge with metal and or bone and the leather thongs would cut the skin, sometimes so deeply that internal organs were exposed. After this horrific beating, Jesus had his cross laid on his own back that he might bear it to the place of execution. We do not know how far he carried it before Simon of Cyrene had to finish, but every step he made must have involved an unspeakable agony. Then at Golgotha, Jesus experienced one of the cruelest deaths ever devised. Nailed by his hands and feet to a wooden cross, our Lord endured 6 hours of torture before it was finished and he yielded his spirit to God. Lastly, let's rejoice with the Lord. It is imperative we understand and more deeply appreciate what our Lord endured for us. We must not stop at Calvary. 3 days later, the tomb was empty, and almost 6 weeks later, Jesus ascended into heaven, where, having been given the name which is above every name, he became Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In his death, the price of redemption was paid, and in his resurrection and exaltation, the victory was assured. The key now is allowing the story of what the cross to move us to follow Jesus and share in that victory. So may God help us all to examine carefully the compulsion the cross has on us. And the last verse I want to leave you with this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And it says, "He learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Me personally, I think that verse in and of itself is encapsulated of the very foundational thing we're talking about this morning, that being love. Jesus obviously loved the Father, so much so that he was obedient to him, even to the point of death. He loved us so much that he suffered and died for us willingly, as I mentioned earlier. And God loves us so much, as we know, to send him down to this earth to do those very things. So let's keep that in mind in the forefront, of our minds as we partake of these emblems. And please bow with me now as I pray for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your sight once again, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity that we have to gather around this table, to partake of these emblems, to remember your Son, the suffering that he endured, the love that he had, the love that you had for us, Father, for him to so willingly go to that cruel cross and endure the hatred, the despise, the physical beating, the mental torture, all of it, Father. Be with us now as we break this bread, which we know to be a representation of that body. Father, as we break and partake, we pray that we do so in a manner that is well-pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come for you once again. Lord, we are forever grateful for the great sacrifice that you have given with your Son dying on that cruel cross. And Lord, we ask that you bless this cup, which represents his shed blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Concludes the Lord's Supper. Did we happen to overlook anybody by chance? Okay, another act of worship that we do here is to give back a portion of what we've been so richly blessed with by the Lord this morning. This is by no means we're very happy for our visitors here that you're amongst us this morning. This is no solicitation for anything from you, but a duty and obligation by the members here to help further the work. We are a very blessed group of people. There's just far, far too many things at play for us to fully recognize, but to always give back and show appreciation to our Father and to glorify Him is a great thing that we could do. So let us think about those things. Please bow with me, and we'll pray for the offering this morning. Holy Father in heaven, we come to you once again, Father, in prayer, mindful of the presence that you have in our lives, the things that you control. You are head over all things. We recognize that, Father, and we're thankful for your love for us, your mercy that you have upon us each and every day. As we pass around this basket and offer up our worship of collection of this of the physical things that you bless us with, Father, we're thankful for the very air that we breathe, the means of work that we could accomplish to bring forth these funds, Father. We recognize you in all of this. Not only the things of this world that you provided us for, Father, but the things that you prepared for us in the hereafter. Let us always try to focus on the things that truly matter and be thankful for each and everything that you give us. Be with us now as this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
This morning and that was able to come out with us. Again, if you're visiting with us, we have the Eagle Hawks here coming visiting. I think, as I understand, their home congregation is not currently meeting, so they've been visiting around, and they blessed us with their presence this morning, and we're thankful for that. As we come to the conclusion of our service this morning, I'm going to call a little bit of an audible, and we will sing the first verse of Walk Beside Me, because I'm not done for some reason. Again, I think springtime is biting me a little bit here, so we will sing the first verse of Walk Beside Me, and then Brother Shaden will be leading us in a prayer to close us out.
Walk beside me, O my Savior, while life's morning sky is bright. Grant me now thy loving favor. Put my path with heavenly light. Whether good or ill betide me, whether skies be dark or clear, I may know.